and fists. The battle calls. Broken bones. Crashing walls. DeFalco's reign. Iron rule. In the ring, none escape the duel. Stars of tomorrow. Blood and sweat. Legends born, never forget. From the darkness. Sparks ignite. Future kings ready to fight. High stakes. Ruthless game, every move stokes the flame. Unyielding, unbroken, proud. To the end, they'll stand unbound. Eyes of steel, hearts of fire. In the
everybody, Don Michaels here. I'm the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Hey, Joe, it was Ground Zero this weekend. And sometimes you just never know what might happen on an FSW show. And we saw some new champions, including Damien Desire and Bryce Saturn winning the tag team championships, and wow, Duke Lawrence beating Matt Vandegrift for that Nevada state title. Wow. I mean, how did it go for you? Did everything come off as expected, or did Bryce Saturn using a foreign object to win? And apparently there's no replay or like family in the audience to grab an official to show them the baseball bat that was used in AEW.
Yeah, I guess not. You know, thank God the internet feed wasn't working well, I guess, or something. They couldn't go to the Triller replay.
But yeah, I mean, just crazy. Two title changes, in a show that comes off the heels of some good buildups and stories that were ending and winding down at the last Silverton show, and now we got some fresh faces carrying the belts.
Duke Lawrence and Vandegrift, MK, promised this would happen. And in all honesty, Matt did a lot, but he, hits a 450 again, and Duke kicked out at one. So, the monster that is Duke Lawrence, it's going to be interesting to see who's going to be able to stop him. And then, Bryce Saturn, who's been very, very, very impressive. Damien Desire also has come in, and they've changed their dynamic. They tagged against Makeshift in their first match probably 6 months ago, maybe. And Bryce has been doing a lot of the singles work, and then kind of got back together with Damien Desire. It's his travel partner, one of his best friends. And they had an opportunity, and MK not one for, we don't even know what the story is there. Was this planned all along? But MK walked out, and he was involved in both title changes. So, I'm trying to think back, and I honestly don't know if there was ever a show at the FSW arena where the titles changed hands twice. And any of our historians out there, if they know, please inform me. of a show that we had where two titles were changed over at an FSW arena show. So,
and two titles that involved MK in some form, which it's rare for MK to be part of anything that involves winning. So, you know, I mean, after all, he does broadcast for those Utah people out there. So,
yeah, you know.
But, you know, it's interesting when you look at the success Matt has had. You know, a guy like Duke Lawrence, there was a time where it was questionable on, you know, what Duke's vision and what his commitment was in wrestling. And I think, you know, is it fair to say you're looking at maybe a second coming of a Tyshawn Prince in just the pure size and you know, what you're going to have to find to beat someone like that guy might have to be a bigger guy.
Well, yeah, it's definitely interesting. I do see a lot of resemblance to a Tyshawn Prince. I think Tyshawn was further along as a wrestler. But, you know, monsters are hard to find. Let me just tell you that, you know, what you may lack in experience, what you may lack in certain things, you surely make up in the size. So, yeah. And having MK by his side, you know, has done wonders. You know, they were pretty successful, Duke and Koa as the tag team. They never got a chance to win the belts. Well, they had a chance. They just didn't win them. Yeah. And now he's now the Nevada State champion.
Yeah. Yeah. Which it's going to be interesting to see. We also saw Dante King make a successful defense against Neil Black. Do you think Dante is, you know, realistic in what it's going to take to go out there and maintain the defensive belt on a constant basis? Because, you know, you say Nino Black, very reputable, very tough opponent. But that's just the start of the guys who are going to come gunning for Dante.
Well, you know, he's going to always have somebody gunning because he's a champion now. You know, everybody guns for the champion. You know, Danny Limelight, everybody wants to be the heavyweight champion. How many people are going to gun for Duke Lawrence? I couldn't tell you for sure on that one. You know, if I'm Jay Vidal and I'm picking my next opponent and trying to see where maybe I fit in, I'm not sure Duke Lawrence is your first choice.
I hear Bodie wants a piece of him. Is that true?
I believe he does. I don't think Bodie is afraid of anybody. So, you know, that's a true David versus Goliath. Yeah. You know, there's guys, everybody wants to fight a champion. Everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody feels that they're deserving of it. And what about me? And, you know, why don't I get a shot? You know, I get guys that are low on the card who think that they should get a title match. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things going on. You know, you see Damian Drake recently lost his championship. Matt right. Vandergriff now recently lost his championship. They just tagged and had a really, really good match with the Rascals in a four-way at the Benefit for Bay. So, yeah. You know, it as we say, it is ground zero. We have new champions crowned, you know, coming from No Escape. You know, everybody kind of forgets because we had the Bay show. So This is kind of a continuation, and usually it isn't 4 or 5 weeks later from when we do a show to have a follow-up.
Right.
So, you know, since No Escape, we've had a bunch of new champions. Gypsy Mac's a new champ, Dante King's a new champ, and now we got Duke. So in a matter of two shows, the belt has been changed now 4 times. So, and then we got WrestleMania week coming up. So there's really not a lot of FSW storyline type things. But we got 5 weeks in May, so the first week's going to be a Future Shock on the 3rd, and then we're going to go and have two regular FSW events, the 16th and the 31st, and then the anniversary show, June 15th. You know, it's funny, Danny Limelight was scheduled to be at the show, and Ice Williams wasn't, and then Ice Williams ended up being able to make the show, and then somehow Danny Limelight said he hurt his knee. So, but Ice Williams earned himself a title match with the victory at No Escape, and he is waiting for the anniversary show. So June 15th, we have Ice Williams versus Danny Limelight. So the main event is already set for our anniversary show that's still 2 months away.
Right. You also had Brittany Brooks and Maserati squaring off for that number one contendership, essentially. And, I mean, Brittany got the win, but what's going on there?
Well, you know, in that situation, I don't think Zamaya was targeting, say, Brittany Brooks. I think she was targeting the fact that she was left out of that match. And I'll be honest with you, even though she's had a lot of matches in FSW, this is the most impressive I've seen Zamaya.
Agreed. Yep.
Where, you know, taking out both contenders, she's trying to let people know, you know, don't sleep on her. Yeah. You know, I've always been impressed with her. And, you know, maybe the matches don't always tell the whole story, but she is definitely a threat. And I know Maserati's not very happy because she somehow loses out on being the number one contender. So Brittany Brooks is technically the number one contender for the women's championship.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see because that kind of leaves Maserati out on the cold in the cold. But I'm sure, you know, her and Samaya have some unfinished business. So so we got Gypsy Mac and Brittany Brooks. We got Maserati and Samaya. We got Limelight and Ice Williams. We got new tag champs and, you know, who's going to go after them. We got a new Nevada State champion. So there's no real, you know, there's no stories going on right now in those situations. Right. It's like, you know, there's going to be matches to be had. Who's going to challenge Dante King, not only at the anniversary, but the two shows in May? You know, he's going to be on at least one of them. You know, is there going to be, you know, is there going to be a match that's going to determine a number one contender? You know, Gregory Sharp, he's starting to run out of time to cash in the case.
Right.
And he's the guy who, well, it'd be interesting to see him and Dante King have a match. And, you know, we saw it look like, you know, he might get the victory at one point in the scramble match. So, you know, Gregory Sharp is a threat for any championship. Probably except the tag because he doesn't have very many friends, you know.
Gregory Sharp can win that tag team championship by himself, Joe. We know that
would be maybe underestimating the skill set of Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, let's say Greg decides to go after the Nevada State title again. I mean, that almost, like him going against Duke Lawrence is almost like going against a tag team. I mean, Duke is as big as two guys.
It definitely is. And the question becomes, maybe people would get behind Gregory Sharp at that point.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we got so much going on and it's like these shows, we got 12 shows. We're kind of running two of them. We got a, Mania watch party at the Hard Rock Cafe that I got the WWE Hall of Famer, the Godfather. So he will be there trying to finalize that, you know, being that it's 10 days away. Yeah. Other than that little post, that's the only blurb I've seen about anything, which doesn't tell me anything. Right. And it's like, you know, the guy I'm dealing with, he was on vacation for 5 days. It's like, can we get a flyer? You know, can we get the Godfather to put out the flyer? But you have to have a flyer. Like, right. You know, I hate to tell you, but you're not the only one doing a watch party, bro. It's like, you know, yeah. Let's get that contract signed. I want to make sure we get paid. I don't want to be the one stuck paying the Godfather.
Yeah. Yeah, and his hose have gotten more expensive with the inflation. So,
yeah, he asked, is he going to bring them with him? The guy from the Hard Rock. I'm like, yeah, if you pay, I'm sure he will. Or he might be able to pick up a few right on the strip.
Yeah.
When he's about to walk into the building, I'm pretty sure they're all over.
You know, all that's coming up. And first off, we got a Future Shock this Saturday at 5 p.m. at the FSW Arena. Any words right now on what's going on with Future Shock? Who do you have lined up as of now?
Yeah, we got Johnny Royal, the man who has sold the most tickets in FSW Future Shock history. In just two shows, he sold 105 tickets. So he gets to go one-on-one with FSW trainer Sin Bodhi.
Oh, nice. All right.
He gets to earn that match. Yeah. We're going to have members of Lights, Camera, Faction, Fresco and Watson. They're going to be taking on the Killer D's.
Nice.
And it's a night of tag teams. We have a four-way tag match featuring Mariachi Montaña, who haven't been around for a little bit. They've been very, very busy, you know, making the rounds in on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Taking on Excellence and Trademark, the team known as the Golden Showers. Also, we have Greatness and Tenacious as part of that match, as well as the Asylum, who's gotten a little momentum. Marcus Anderson and Phil Godfrey with the Mastermind. And I thought we were going to have, but Jimmy Jack will not be able to make it. We thought the Po' Boys were ready to make their return. Chase Bell is back, so he'll be wrestling on the show. We got some of our younger talent. You know, Daniel Ismael will be there, and Colin Muldoon, who many people feel could be the next breakout guy from Future Shock.
Just ask Colin. Colin will let you know.
Yeah, he will. He'll tell you for sure. You know, the bangers that he had, you know, with Gregory Sharp and Watson, and the not so banger he had with Brett the Threat. But he's, you know, obviously we have high hopes for him because he's worked three matches and those are his opponents. So yeah. We've been, you know, fueling the fire on Colin Muldoon. We believe that he has the potential to do some really good things. So he'll be on the show. And you got, you know, Warren Moore, and you got Sanders, and you got, you know, the Future Shock mainstays.
Yeah.
That'll all be there. You know, all tickets are just $20. You get to see some of the future stars. You know, hopefully Evolve won't steal that name too, but you know, we'll see.
Speaking of, you got a little Gabe Sapolsky seminar coming up here, a training camp and scouting tryout.
Yeah, we're closing in on a number. We got over 30 people that have already signed up.
Nice.
So it's going to be successful. Our tag team champions, you know, I'm looking at the list. And it's good to see some people since, you know, sometimes a lot of people feel, you know, not needing to do that. But Braxton has signed up. Fresco is going to be doing it because they see their guy. Ice Williams is an ID guy. And the reason he got there is probably putting in the work and being available for that. Chase Bell, who just got cleared, he's going to be there. And some of the other younger guys. And we even got some young guys who haven't even had a match yet, but they want to see where they're at. And they're willing to make the payment. So, you know, even the a team that we used many years ago that went to the Impact tryout and got a match against Royce and Jarrell, the Pillars of Destiny. They will be returning to the arena from Colorado to be a part of the seminar tryout, because people understand that you got to be seen by the right people. And it's like, you know, we can't put it on the flyer, and we can't, but pay attention to WWE ID, pay attention to Evolve. Look who is running that. And then look who's running the seminar and the tryout, you know? And it's like, okay,
it's almost like the same person.
Almost, you know? And then we have the WWE ID show, which is going to be on the Friday. And it's going to be tough because it's right after SmackDown. And, you know, I think I miscalculated. I thought this was going to be a huge, huge success. But you got to understand, it's right after SmackDown. It's right before the Hall of Fame. And this is not geared toward the indie wrestling community. This is geared toward the WWE fans and their ID program. And there's two major events happening right in between what we're doing. And a lot of the regular fans don't know a Sean Legacy and a Cappuccino Jones. And, you know, GCW fans, sure, they know a Marcus Mathers, you know. And the thing is, if you look at the flyer, you have Bodie's been added to the match because why? He's been added to the show because Gabe sees a lot in Bodie, and Bodie's getting to wrestle an ID guy because maybe they caught wind of him versus Jack Cartwheel killing it at the show. Britt Brooks, who's high on the radar. Maserati's just been added, and it's going to be a tag match. So Brittany and Maz are going to be on opposite sides.
Nice.
So, you know, we do have four, and then, of course, Ice Williams, you know, taking on, I guess, one half of Swipe Right, who got an NXT match. And, you know, word just came out that – what's that?
It was crazy to see them show up, and it was just like, wait, wow. I mean, you know, talk about, again, smart plugging in and how to utilize this talent to expose them so early on to the NXT crowd and get that even more, you know, generated. It's unbelievable. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, you know, it's really it really is a true show of future stars, that these guys are, you know, on the way up. You know, guys are being put on NXT. If you don't think that at least one or two of these wrestlers aren't going to get a full-time contract, you're crazy. You know, they're taking, you know, what they feel are the best prospects. And, you know, when you got 19 prospects, don't believe that one person's not going to get signed from there. Sam Holloway, you know, as I always like to say, he's a big motherfucker. Yep. You know, he's a big bad dude. And I haven't really seen a lot of his work, but I'm told that the sleeper guy is Sean Legacy. And I also hear a lot about the It's Gal. So, you know, it's definitely a who's who. And again, everybody's friends and everybody, you know, excited about opportunities, but it's a competition. You have to stand out amongst 19 others, you know, or 18 others. I guess you don't count Thatcher because they already know what he can do.
Yeah, very true. But, you know, it's interesting too with the ID program and what they're doing and setting up these titles. You know, that's one aspect. You look on TV, they got LFG going, which is, you know, using some of the performance center talent that's been there between a year and 2 years, or under a year to about 2 years.
Yeah, what's that one called? Future Legends? Yeah, that
Legends, we do that. Future Greats.
And then I saw the promo, the future stars of wrestling. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should just ID us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, how much poaching you going to do? You know, and then, you know, you talk about the wrestlers and the wrestlers getting the opportunities. you know, the Jordan Oasis promo video was made by our own Mikey. So Mikey gets to get his work seen on WWE television, which now means, hey, if Gabe likes what he sees, you know, similar to the Ryan Katzes of the world and the guys that were, you know, from Hollywood who, you know, through maybe an Adam Pearce because, hey, we got a guy. So now Gabe could be like, hey, well, we got a guy. If we like what he does, you know, one of our first guys who did the graphics, Darian. And Darian ended up getting a job years after he told everybody he secretly had a job with them, which he didn't. But the story was, and it was like, he'll never get a get, his work spoke for itself. And he got hired. So, you know, it's crazy to see.
Mikey's price goes up now, right?
Well, you know, Mikey should be like the Chris Bays and Hammerstones, thankful for the opportunity and gracious in knowing, hey, you know, if it wasn't for Joe, you know, just saying.
You know, we got the ID going on, and then of course, you have the Future Legends women's tournament going on with again, some of the people we've been talking about, Zamaya and Brittany Brooks are involved. You know, Zeta Steele, speaking of WWE and IDs.
Maggie Lee, we signed her and she just got signed to TNA.
Yeah. It's, you know,
Maya World, she's making moves. Jada Stone in Japan, she's worked TNA shows also. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, 10 impressive people. It's going to be two triple threats as well as two singles matches. There you go. So Carolina Cruz, she was part of NXT.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a match right there.
Brooke Havoc, mainstay in GCW.
Maya World, who is setting the world on fire as well. And Kaya Dream and Brittany Brooks. I mean,
Culture Inc., you know, their mainstays at Reality of Wrestling. So,
yeah. And then on that card, too, we'll see if is Mr. Vandegrift defending.
Yes, the Future Legends Men's Championship will be defended. We're trying to find, again, there's been so much going on. Not that all these guys aren't available, because they are. So we know Bodie and Matt Vandegrift are in the match. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Cartwheel, but we're looking for a Fatal 4-Way.
Nice.
In that match. So, nice. You know, I'd love to have Cartwheel on the show. I'm a big fan of his and enjoy his work immensely. I was disappointed to see the Vegas card and he was not on it. So, not the Vegas card, the FSW Vegas card.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Matt just lost the Nevada State belt and possibly within 2 weeks could lose the Future Legends belt as well. So,
And again, anything's possible. You know, I gotta see any of my guys that may have been in the Future Legends men's tournament a couple years back. Who's going to be in town? You know, it's just it's no fault other than my own, because I got 9 million things going on, and we got thankfully the ID show. So if anybody asks, people keep asking. It's like, no, I'm not booking that show. I can't put you on it. It's like I get these random people that I don't even know trying to get on that show. And it's like, do you think I would use you, who I've never met or never talked to in my life? Like, I don't care how good you are. I think I have enough really good talent on my show that if I was able to get people, I would get people I know and like that have done things for me.
You know, but again, that's the funny thing about brand recognition, and you put a WWE tag or an AEW tag or even a TNA tag on something, and for some people, New Japan as well, right? Then it becomes very attractive. And now, oh, I want that. I want that opportunity. Get me in. Let me do this. And it's like you forget that there are so many people who have worked through the system here and have been reliable and deserve opportunities, and they can't even get that.
No doubt. It is, you know, like, you know, it's always Joe's fault. You know what I mean? And it's like, you go find me another promoter that's going out of their way to try to get you booked on somebody else's show.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I'll go out of my way if I can reach out to somebody because it might help one of my guys, one of my girls, you know, whatever it is. Like I said, you know, I've made relationships. So, hey, I've reached out to Conan and people have gotten booked because of it. Yeah. You know, and those are the bigger companies. But, you know, a lot of the smaller ones, people trying to get their exposure out there, you know, I have no problem. It's like, that's why I'll tell you what, that's why I hate, you know, you go on the messenger and somebody sends me a message and I know them and I've dealt with them. I'm usually going to respond pretty quickly. Right. Like I get people who I do know and they hit me up. And I'll respond, and I won't get a response for 2 days. And it's like, well, you're the one who hit me up in the first place. Like, here's the info. What's up? You know, tell me something. Like, same thing with a text message. It's like, come on. Oh, I didn't get it. Okay, Sammy Callahan, I know you get 9 billion messages, and you couldn't answer me. You know? But it's funny because everybody I know says the same thing. You don't answer anybody unless you have to. Or unless, you know, Brett from GCW finds a nice picture of the Vegas Strip from 1978 and he shows me the Caesar's Palace marquee and has me guess what year it is.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I mean, Sammy Callahan has been busy with Mance Warner. There's a lot of tension going on in that TNA right now, man.
I thought he was busy with a Revolver.
Yeah. I think that's the other thing he does, right? But it is interesting. Again, it's one of those things where, you know, one of the trademarks in this industry has always been, I need this from you. But if you contact me, I'm a little bit busy right now, which is, it's interesting in itself. Speaking of contacting, Mecha 10, the Benefit for Bay, is now available on DVD and Blu-ray.
It's available for purchase. It won't be available till next week. I made the order yesterday, so it's supposed to get there. It's supposed to get here between the 15th and the 21st. I'm hoping it gets here like by the 18th.
Okay. All right. So,
but if not, you know, I want it to be available at the shows, even right. All the other people running shows. People may be interested in purchasing that because we're going to be setting up our little table. You know, so there's snacks and drinks and things like that. So,
yeah.
But hey, you know, I'm sure there's going to be people that'll be interested in purchasing a Chris Bay DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. With what is it, like 40 or so minutes of.
They did a bunch of backstage interviews with most of the talent, you know, telling some old stories, you know, Aria Daivari talking about. Which we've talked about many a times, that he was the match for Chris when Sanjay pulled him aside and said, give him the match, and led to him getting signed by TNA. So everybody's got a little something, something, you know. John Morrison, we've talked about before when Chris got an autograph when he was 7 years old from Morrison. You know, it's on YouTube and it's funny. And somehow I was able to make it happen, and Chris Bay won his first championship in FSW thanks to John Morse. So,
yeah,
you know, who better than me?
Is any rumor true that the Raw after WrestleMania, Karrion Kross is introducing his new manager, Joseph D. Falco.
That would be a tremendous move on his part. I'll be honest with you. Definitely would take him to the moon, but I think it would be better to be hiring me as creative, because for some reason, you know, saw Kevin Owens, you know, has the major injury, and I would feel it would be a shame that Aleister Black would come back and get that match, and Kevin wouldn't get a match at Mania. Yeah. That would be a crime, you know. And to be honest with you, you know, he makes a lot of sense, Kevin, in that match.
Sure.
So, you know, they can make it happen. Now, you know, hopefully he won't just be fed to AJ because, you know, hey, AJ's got his match with Paul, with Logan right. Paul coming up. So usually that's the feeder. Right. But hopefully maybe this leads to something and maybe they got some plans. You know, I was going to message Kevin and be like, hey, you getting Orton? You know, but I know Kevin. He wouldn't tell me Moxley was coming to the show until I actually saw the guy 45 minutes before the show. So I highly doubt he's going to give away, oh, yeah, I'm wrestling Orton in Mania.
No, but we do know he's wrestling on Josh Barnett's Bloodsport card with a number of WWE / NXT talent. Marina Shafir from AEW, I think, is wrestling on that card. Natalia, Regal's kid, Charlie Dempsey's on that card. I think Royce is wrestling on that card as well.
Royce is a mainstay on that. I saw Kevin's wrestling Kratos.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which, Kratos has come a long way from working a pre-show Silverton match many years ago.
Yeah. It's wild to see, you know, and you talk about two, you know, legit badasses, Kevin and Kratos. That's a
bad dude. Tito, I can't believe ain't on that show yet.
Yeah.
Last time I talked to Tito, he said he wasn't approached yet, but then the last time they had the blood sport, he basically hit him up like the day before. And then he had and then one other time he was wrestling for me the day they had blood sport. And I'm like talking about booking him. And I said, hey, don't you got blood sport? He goes, nah, they didn't hit me up. So I'm booked with you. So I booked him. And then literally when I saw him, he was like, yeah, they hit me up like 2 days ago. And I'm like, yeah, I'm already booked. So Brett's notoriously slow sometimes.
Right. But it was Flamingo 1972, right?
Yes. Headlined by Slammy Davis Jr.
Right. In looking to, you know, some of the Pauly Corver for the radio station put together a comprehensive list of, I believe there's 72 events going on or so. You know, what is it like for you to watch, let's say GCW and the Collective putting their stuff on at the Palms? You got Rikishi now, Knox all of a sudden come out of nowhere and putting stuff on at the downtown Las Vegas, center there by the D. And then you got all these, you know, smaller shows being put on by independents throughout like Fremont Street and in the city. Is this something that is casting a light that people who are interested and will start to see maybe talent from FSW on this show here or that show there? Does this still give you guys extra exposure by having, you know, the local talent involved on a number of these different shows?
I don't think so, because a lot of these people are tourists who are coming in. So they're just watching shows, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they're going to see, and oh, that guy's good. And then most of them, you would think, have heard of FSW, but I don't think it's going to change the dynamic to all of a sudden, now we're going to get these people as fans of ours. I think there are already probably a good amount that are fans of ours already.
Sure.
You know, and then you got the strictly WWE type crew. So hopefully, you know, we're on Triller. So hopefully these WWE ID championship tournament makes more eyes. I'm very intrigued to see what those numbers are going to be compared to, say, the Future Legend Women's Tournament, because the women's stuff usually does better. Now, with the WWE brand, because it's ID guys, this is the only chance to see the word WWE on Triller TV. It's for the GCW and the FSW ID Championship Tournament. But the ID Championship Tournament is represented by WWE. So even though they don't, you know, they put it on the WWE ID website, on the Twitter stuff, but like they're not, you know. You had asked about getting Gabe on, and Gabe was like, love to, but I'm not allowed. And it's like, wow, you would think this upstart program, the ID, you'd want to get it out there to as much publicity as humanly possible, because aside from FSW fans, a lot of people don't know who Ice Williams is, or I didn't know who Cappuccino Jones was, or Aaron Roberts and Sean Legacy, and I still don't really know who they are.
Right.
But WWE has planted a stamp of approval, just like they do when you watch NXT. It's a stamp of approval of guys that you feel are worthy of maybe stepping it up to WWE's main roster sometime. You know, everybody knew after a while, oh, that shit, that Bron Breakker, man, that dude's fucking good. You know, he's going to be on the main roster. Like, to me, it was like, why ain't he on the main roster? He seemed to be there way longer than he needed to.
Right.
So, you know, they've kind of revamped the way they did NXT to where it's a little more of the younger guys. But there's so much programming and there's so many opportunities that, you know, now on Triller, just the words WWE might attract people that had no knowledge. Because I guarantee you a lot of people have no knowledge of what the ID program is. Because WWE ID on Twitter doesn't get reshared from WWE's main website.
Right.
So you go on Twitter and see WWE, you know, I might see, hey, come check out Evolve, but it won't talk about the ID program.
Right. You know, the thing too is if you look at what they're trying to do with, you know, introducing these titles, I saw kind of an interesting thing thrown out there. Of course, people using their internet minds, a lot of independent people now going, well, if those belts are going to be out there, then I can obviously book myself against this WWE ID champion. So, you know, is it fair to say that when those titles, you know, are going to be out there, that the control by either Gabe or the office will prevent shenanigans from, you know, happening with people who want to just basically put themselves over and try to take those belts?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, Gabe's not going to book the champion against some guy he's never heard of in a show that has 25 people. Like, you know, even now, if you look at the ID thing, you know, first they started off slow. They put it on Evolve. He dealt with people that he knew, which is me, which is Booker T. And you get those ID matches. And, you know, reputable companies,
right.
You know, now it's a little different. So in terms of having an ID match Well, you can't have an ID match unless it's two ID guys. So when we booked Jack Cartwheel versus Bodie, I could have booked Jack Cartwheel versus anybody. It didn't matter. It wasn't an ID match. But when you're talking about the person that they feel comfortable putting their championship on, let's just say it's Ice Williams, for example.
Right.
Well, Ice Williams isn't going to they aren't going to allow Ice Williams to defend the belt against some guy they never heard of. And then it turns out this guy's the shits, you know. But I think it's a great opportunity for a Bodie who's already getting those matches to be like, hey, you know, what do you think of putting Sean Legacy in with Bodie? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. And there's a lot of great talent in all these different companies. You know, if Dom wanted to do it and they're going to put him in with Devin Reno, yeah, that'd be great. So I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of people that are going to do exactly what you just said, but they're going to not be let in the gate. You know, they don't want it to be a farce. So they're going to make sure that it benefits them. WWE is never going to do something that's going to only benefit me and do nothing for them.
Right.
Because you don't, you know, they signed whatever, 18, 19 people to the ID program. Do you think there's not another list of 150 to 250 wrestlers that they might have an eye on that, hey, if something breaks or these guys that we're looking at, you know, look how the ID program slowly generated. You know, it ended up being far different than anybody expected it to be. And then it was like, oh, they're going to put belts on them. Oh, wow. Oh, now they're going to have a show on called Evolve. And now they're going to do this. And now they're always trying to come up with something. And I think it is a work in progress. I think ideas come about. Like, did they have an idea of doing a ID show WrestleMania weekend, or was it because Joe DeFalco contacted them and said, hey, I have an idea. What do you think about doing an ID show that now expanded to two ID shows? Were they thinking about that already? Or was my brilliant idea the catapult to make it happen?
Well, let's give you a little bit of credit, right?
You would think if it was going to be Mania week and they were going to think about it, that me, GCW, since we're housing a bunch of shows and things like that, and they work with us as it is, that we would have been contacted. But I made first contact. You know, I contacted the aliens first, you know. Give me my flowers.
I don't know if you want to use flowers.
Danny Limelight, you know, give me my flowers.
Yeah.
I just want a consultant contract. Just pay me a little bit as a consultant. I'll give you some good ideas, Gabe.
Wait, wasn't that The Rock's opponent at WrestleMania 13, the consultant?
Maybe.
Oh, wait. That was the Sultan. Rikishi.
There you go. I was trying to think of his name. That's what I was going to think it was. Yeah.
The Sultan. Brought up LFG this past week. One of the guys, Chris Island, who's competing on that show, he actually gave a shout out to Clay Jack by wearing a Clay Jack shirt and talking a little bit about a relationship that, you know, they had formed. Being ex wrestlers at the same school. Colin obviously came to you guys through Clay as well. How important.
I hear the story differently.
Oh, really?
Colin knew of FSW and was going to go there anyway. And Cal Jack heard about it, taking the credit. He was like, nah, I was going to go there anyway. But he did bring him in. So maybe he jump-started it a little bit, but Colin was aware of this. Because I was wondering about that situation myself.
Yeah.
Because I know he taught at the school that Colin happened to go to. So.
Right. So, you know, when it comes to guys like that, where you have guys who have X, you know, either NXT or WWE or, you know, TNA, AEW, you know, how is it now where are you seeing more of an influence of these guys now where kids are being turned on to the school or to, you know, FSW knowing about it a little bit more because you have these guys have more of a presence in Vegas now who, you know, with everyone kind of moving here, it's kind of changing a little bit, shifting a little bit to giving Vegas a bigger shine. And then now you got WrestleMania coming in. It just seems like the growth for Vegas since the first Double or Nothing in, 2019 has just been incredible and really survived, through the pandemic as well, which was a tough road to get through.
I'll be honest with you. You know, everybody wants to, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. And I try my best when new people come in and try to gather information. Like, hey, how did you hear about us?
Yeah.
And it's still more cases than not that somebody types in Las Vegas wrestling on a Google search and FSW comes up. Because, you know, how many people really paid attention to LA Knight other than our fans saying Joe DeFalco and FSW? Right. Most of those people there went right above their head. They weren't really paying attention to that. And when they finally decide, it's usually either somebody who's come to our shows and that's how they heard about us. But even with the kids class and things like that, that's one of the more disappointing things that so many of the kids in the kids class who supposedly love wrestling, you try to offer them discount tickets and very few of them come to the shows. And it's like, wow, I thought you were a wrestling fan. But, you know, again, a lot of times it's they're right. WWE fans, they're AEW fans. So, you know,
right.
Regardless, most people, they'll go to the website and not pay attention to the fact that, oh, really? You train Zoe Stark, Solo Sikoa, Chris Bey, Karrion Kross? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, LA Knight was your champion. And you think it's just common knowledge and everybody pays attention. But it's the same thing as when you make posts on Facebook or you make posts on Twitter or even the wrestlers, they do a video. Well, you know, I did the video on the Facebook. It's like, dude, did you see you had 46 views, man? It's like everybody thinks that you'll go to the arena and everybody knows your story because you made a video. No, it enhances, it helps, but that isn't it. You have to do way more work about that. You know, sure. It was like the one show we had a whole bunch of flyers made, okay? And I didn't make it because it was like, oh, let's try to get as many people as we can to the Chris Bey show. It had more publicity than any show we did. The reason we did the flyers was AEW had a show a week before, and the idea was to pass it out to those wrestling fans who aren't that aware. And it was a lot easier because it's like, oh, hey, by the way, AEW fan who came to the show, Shane Strickland, who's here tonight, is going to be on the show. Leo Rush is going to be on the show. John Morrison is going to be on the show. So if you know nothing about wrestling and just AEW, there's four or five guys that are going to be on the show that are in the building today
watching. Right.
Because everybody that was there, I don't think there was anybody from AEW on Chris's show that wasn't at the AEW show in Vegas. Because I talked to Strickland. I talked to Leo Rush. I talked to Morrison. I talked to Daivari.
And Swerve was there too. Yeah.
Yeah, I said Strickland. That was the first name.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I don't think there was anybody else that wrestled on the show or, you know, that I know of. You know, you have the TNA crew, which was the Rascals, and you know, and of course, Ace Austin. So, yeah, I'm trying to think, but
Cage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cage was on the AEW show, too.
Right, I didn't see him, but yeah, he was on the show, yeah. And he was supposed to be on the show. So, yeah, right. I knew there was like another guy. How soon you forget. But yeah, so 5 out of 5. So all these guys.
Oh, and Santos too. We can qualify Santos because she did the ring introductions for the 2 matches prior to the start of Collision. So you had 6.
Oh, did she? I didn't know if she worked still because I. Interesting.
Yeah, I think Ryan got her that.
She had gotten in, but then I didn't know if she was still working there because it seemed like she hadn't. They have a lot of different people. But yeah, so it's like, so that's why we did the flyers now. And it was good because I like handing out the flyers because you kind of can get like test subjects. Oh, yeah, we're going. We got tickets already. Right. Oh, really? Oh, I never heard of you guys. Well, now you have.
Right.
Because everybody's so reliant on social media that just because you post it on Facebook, everybody should know. It's like, no, bro. Like, I have to direct message. And sometimes I got texts of the people that have come to the shows or the emails. And I got fans that are like, oh, you got a show tomorrow? Like, yeah, it's on Facebook. Didn't you know? And like, most of the people don't even, like, read their messages or go on and stuff. Right. So they have to, like, be made aware. And it becomes a lot harder because you try to maximize. You know, ground zero. We did well. We didn't do great, but we did well. You know, it was a profitable show. It was a solid show. You know, we're hoping there's people that may have come to the Bay show who have never been to an FSW show before that said, hey, I'm going to come check out this show at the FSW arena. Hey, maybe I'm going to bring my kid to kids class.
Right.
You know, so, you know, hopefully down the line, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, they buy tickets through the Silverton. We don't get access. When we do shows at the school, we get access to the emails because we sell the tickets through Eventbrite. So I've continually built a list that probably have 700-800 people who bought tickets, and I'll always send out the emails.
Right.
Like about a week before the show. But man, I'd love that email list of all the people who bought tickets at the Chris Bay show.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And man, that would, you know, but, and again, it's funny too, because I don't think a lot of people understand the grassroots of, you know, that list building. There's same thing when I was casting things, that was the thing that always, you grew that list, and then anytime you had a new thing coming out where you needed people, you'd send that list out, you know, hit that list. And it's really important. Be nice if the Silverton would, you know, allow you to do that. Or if you know any hackers, I'm sure you can hack into the database of the Silverton box office. And
well, I'm going to make a Facebook post. Any hackers out there?
Oh, man. All right. So as we get ready here again, it's going to be a big week coming up for WrestleMania week on Wednesday. Again, Gabe Sapolsky has the training camp and scouting tryout. You can email RSVP at lvfuturestars@yahoo.com to get in on that. And again, if you're coming in from out of town, or if you're listening to this and know of anyone who might be interested who's coming in from out of town.
Are we live today, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know. It was like the minute we were talking, I got a message from the mariachis who said they were wanted in on the Gabe seminar. So I wonder if they were listening and heard, because it was like right 2 minutes after I got a message from them. So I was curious.
No, I hope so. Let's just assume they were listening, and let's keep it up, mariachis. I think that's maybe great work.
Maybe if the tag team champions are good enough to sign up for the seminar, maybe the teams that are looking to be tag team champions, or because I remember Gabe sent me a message one time. I think it might have been Future Shock. He happened to be watching. He was like, "Hey, the mariachis gear's awesome," and because he always talked about it. It's always the little things that people notice you, and now he might pay attention a little more. He sees guys he's never heard of, two big guys, brothers, coming to the ring, caught his eye.
Yeah. Yeah, and, again, it's the never know factor. If you want to hang out and watch the Saturday night WrestleMania, you can go to the Hard Rock Cafe and check out your tickets here through Ticketweb.
We also have a couple of special guests that we're hoping to announce, so we'll see.
Of course, Future Legends Women's Tournament that we talked about. That's Sunday, April 20th at noon.
Sunday at noon. We got the ID Friday at 8:30. The week starts for us on Tuesday. My buddy comes to town. So while the crew is setting up at the Palms for the GCW Collective, we have to set up the ring there at 9 a.m. I'll be playing golf with my buddy Bobby from New York. And Wednesday we have the seminar, and then we have, the Colorado Wrestling Connection shows Wednesday evening. So we're just kicking off Wednesday with one show, come back with five Thursday, five Friday. Saturday I'll be at the Hard Rock. So if you want to come by and say hi, I'm trying to work on a discount deal for like the wrestlers and people who are part of the promotion, to maybe get them in at a highly discounted rate, and they can buy their own food and drink. Because I know people were talking about maybe the FSW Arena doing the watch party. But I'll obviously be along with the Godfather and hopefully a couple guests. So I'm going to line up and, see who's there. And then Sunday, of course, we'll know for sure what's going on.
Yeah, and really, it all kind of kicks off this Saturday at 5 p.m. at the FSW Arena with Future Shock. So, catch it either live at the arena, or if you're out of town, catch it on Triller. And this is going to be one of the busiest weeks in the history of this town, and probably in the history of your life, Joe.
Probably until next year, something will come up.
Right. Yeah. catch everything that you can while you're here. Hopefully, there'll be a lot of people who have interest from out of town. Pass that word along, check out the FSW Arena and the shows going on there. Check out, all the stuff that's going on in the town. There's so much going on. Make an itinerary and, use the ride shares and get around town and get to as much as possible, because this is definitely an opportunity that you don't get a lot in Vegas, to continuously go from show to thing to show to something else that's all wrestling related. And if you love wrestling, this is literally the mecca of wrestling for the next week. So,
For sure.
Yeah. So, best of luck also to all the talent out there and the many shows that, people have gotten themselves booked on. Be nice to be 25 again and, be able to do, eight shows in a weekend, and still be able to go out and party.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, you know, but again, they can take all the time off after the fact that they want. I remember Mike Bailey talking about, but you know, how much money he made at probably discounted prices. He might be exhausted, but he probably earned at least, you know, a month, 2 months worth of independent gigs in a matter of a 3 or 4 day period. So,
yeah. Yeah, and now look at him. He's getting that money handed to him on a Wednesday.
There you go.
So there is, you know, there's always hope. Do not give up. You will find your meal ticket one day in this business.
Hey, the stock market went flying up today. Did you see that?
Was it 0.5?
It's back up to 40,000.
Oh, all right.
So basically, you know, 75% of what was lost has been gotten back again. It's like everybody's panicking after 2 days. It's like, eesh.
Well, now those people who weren't going to go to WrestleMania, you can afford a WrestleMania ticket, one WrestleMania ticket.
Now you could cash out your 401k today, not yesterday.
Right. Oh, man. Well, all right, this is it. Going into WrestleMania week, most likely we probably won't have a show next week because Bobby's in from out of town. Joe will be golfing, and
I'll be living at the arena for 14 hours a day.
Yeah, maybe doing some wrestling related stuff. I don't know, but we'll have a recap of everything that went on a week from now, and you know, everyone just. Have an amazing time out there, and thanks for all the support for FSW and for the city of Las Vegas, and thanks for joining us today, and until next time, everybody, I hope you have an amazing, not only WrestleMania week, but it's also Easter, and 420, and 420, so
didn't know.
The Rob Van Dam Bunny should be showing up at your house at some point. With some 420 goods. So until next time, everybody, take care and happy wrestling.